Welcome to the LifePoint Palm Bay Sermon Podcast. We encourage you to make copies of this message, but please don't charge for those copies. If you'd like to know more about LifePoint Palm Bay, please visit lifepointpb.com.
You guys know David and Amanda, or everybody's calling her Mandy. I never called her Mandy. She's always been Amanda since she was a little girl, and so I'm sorry.
You switched it?
You switched it on us? All right. So David and Amanda, who everybody else calls Mandy, but you guys know them. We've been praying and walking this journey with them, and they're in town maybe real close. I mean, they're still praying and trusting, but it's getting closer to the time of their departure. So I asked David just to give you an update of what's going on.
Yeah, good morning, LifePoint. Thank you guys for having us again with you. And if I haven't had the chance to meet you and you haven't heard from us before, we're going to the Isan people in northeastern Thailand, about 22 million people, the majority of whom are Buddhist and have never heard about Jesus and the great God that we're worshiping today. And so that's what compels us to go. But since most of you already know us, I'll just tell you sort of some of the things we've been up to over the last few months since we've been here. One is we had our fourth child, which you're not holding, so I don't know why I'm pointing over there. But he's coming up on 3 months old now, baby Silas, and he's been a great blessing, but that obviously, you know, throws a few kinks in the way life works, and so we've been adjusting to that. And then we've been continuing our preparations to go classes in Old Testament survey, language, culture acquisition, things like that that we're doing to prepare ourselves to better minister to the Isan people when we get there. And then we've been continuing to share the vision for Isan with different churches throughout the northeastern seaboard. And we're continuing to raise up partners to come alongside of us to go with us in sending and going to Isan. And so we've got a plethora of things we've been working on. And it's our heart's desire that we would go on the plane to Thailand come December. And so part of what is on the track that needs to happen before we can get there is financial support, and praise God, we've reached 100% of our one-time need. We still have a monthly need of continued partnership, but we have everything we need to buy plane tickets, to get a car when we get there, all the setup stuff that we need to deploy, but we still are at about 70% of our monthly need for folks to partner with us over time so we can stay there, because we plan to be there for over 10 years. So you can't raise it all up front. But God has blessed us immensely so far, and we're confident he's going to continue to provide, and that in his time we will get there. And one thing that I've been dwelling upon recently, as God has blessed us and as we continue to strive for being able to leave, is why are we doing all this? And we've sung about how great God is this morning. And the number one reason that we're doing all this, that there is a sacrifice to be made, is that God is worth it. God is worth the worship of all peoples everywhere. You know, there's a great passage in Luke 19 where Jesus is riding into Jerusalem and people are worshiping him, and the Pharisees say, "Stop them. They shouldn't be doing that." And he goes, "If they weren't doing it, the rocks would cry out." Like, there's no way that God doesn't get the glory he deserves, but we know that he deserves the worship of the people of Isan. And so we want to see that happen. And the second thing that I've been thinking about is that that's what the people of Isan were made to do. And right now, they don't have the opportunity to fulfill the purpose of their creation. And that's just unfair. If you look back at Genesis 1, the very first command that God gives to mankind is be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, to fill it with people who bear his image and give him glory. And right now, there's Isan filled with people, but they're not doing the whole part of that command. They're not image bearers giving him glory. And so we want to see them have the opportunity to enter into that with us, as we've been doing this morning, as we have the joy of doing week in and week out with our great God. We want to see them have the opportunity to do that. So we want to go and create this church planting movement where people would reach their own, where they would bring glory to God as the church moves throughout that place. And so please, as you guys have already done, you are partnering with us. If you aren't aware of that, by being a part of this church, you are already partnering with us. We are being sent by you guys, and we are encouraged by that. If you want to know more about what we're doing, please come talk to us. Please continue to pray for us. We need the Lord to do this work, and so we thank you guys for all you're doing, and hope to see us go soon so we can see God work in Isan.
Good job. Hey, hold on 1 second before you run away. Amanda, could you come up here with David a second? All right, you guys just come. Whoop. I'm ringing. I'm going to stand behind you. All right? Is that right? I'm going to tower over you. All right? I don't mean to, but it's just easier that way. Let's pray for them. Lord, you have been faithful up to this point. You have walked them through the ups and the downs and the joys and the disappointments up to this point. You have provided 100% of what they need as far as the initial money. Lord, they're trusting you for the monthly support and that other 30%. We're trusting you for that as well. But God, it's not a big deal to you. It seems like a big deal to us. It is not to you. And so, Lord, we cry out right now that you would demonstrate your power and your glory. And Lord, I thank you for your choice and how you've done this in Dave and Amanda's life. We do not question that. We're asking that you finish what you began. Lord, you have stirred their heart. They are willing to go. You have provided abundantly. Lord, would you finish what you started? And Lord, not just here, but with the Esan people. Lord, and what you're going to do over there in the next decade and the years beyond if you don't come back. Lord, we're trusting you to do what is on your heart to do. And we commit David and Amanda and their family. Pray your protection on them. Pray that you would guard them about, guard their hearts, guard their minds, guard their physical bodies. Lord, cause them, Lord, to see you in everything. Everything that happens and everywhere they go. And cause others to see you in them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. The song that Lori just started playing, and that the team's going to lead us in a moment, is probably my favorite mission song. It's an old one. And I mentioned it to Nina this week, and she didn't roll her eyes, though she probably wanted to. She did not roll her eyes. I just like this song. I've always liked it from the first time I heard it some 15, 20 years ago. And it really is a prayer. It's my prayer. It's a prayer of my heart. It's my prayer for us, that we would have a heart and we'd have a desire to see the nations worship, to see every tongue and voice declaring that he is Lord. In Revelation chapter 7, it says this: After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, this is what they're saying: salvation belongs to our Lord who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and all around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. People talk about a bucket list. You know what's on my bucket list? It's to be there that day. I want to be part of every tribe and tongue and nation and language, lifting up praise to him. I want to ask those who are headed to Haiti and Ukraine, if you come up here to the front for me. You can have a seat for just a second. But if you're headed to Haiti, which is this coming week, or you're headed to Ukraine, which is still a few weeks away, I think. August 12th. Okay, so a little bit later there. All right, come on in here, guys and girls. And hey, Chris, I see you over there. Chris and Jim, you guys are close by. Come join me over here, would you? And we're going to lay hands on these folks and pray for them. I'm sure I have elders and things around too, but I just saw you guys close. So let's do this. And just kind of lay hands on everybody. And praying. The Haiti team is going. You're still working in Savon Kerry, right? Working on the hospital, right?
The mission house.
The mission house.
Trying to finish it up.
Okay, trying to finish the mission house.
And any other little things that come along.
All right, right. So basically, you're going to do whatever you're told to do.
Exactly.
All right, okay. That's a good. That's the heart you have to have when you go on a mission trip, right there. That's what you need. So they head out Tuesday, correct? Yeah. For a week. We're praying this time, no hurricanes, they come back in 1 week and not two, all right?
But if there is, take care of my family.
All right, we will. We'll watch over your family if there's a hurricane. We'll take care of everybody's family. But Lord willing, no hurricanes this time. The last time they went was during Matthew, and so they got stuck in Haiti for an extra week because of Hurricane Matthew. And then the team headed to Ukraine. Steve, they're headed to, where are you going?
We're going to first Poltava, and we will be Chapel, Poltava, for a week, and then we'll be going to Venetia, which is in the southwestern portion of Ukraine. We'll be going there for a week to support that.
Okay, awesome. And we have a real connection with Ukraine, obviously, because Paul and Gretchen were there and started a church and were there for 8 years. And so we have a real heart for what God's... Plus, you read the news and you see all the things that are happening there in Ukraine. So we're praying for this team as well as they head out. And I'm gonna pray for them. I ask you to join with me as we would lift them up, all right? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for those who are headed out next week, and then this week, and then the week following. Lord, I pray for the team going to Haiti. Lord, I pray for, Lord, just your blessing, your multiplication of their effort and their energy. Lord, your protection as they go. I pray against every principality and power of hell. And Lord, I saw it more clearly there than I have in any country I've ever been in, just how much worship there is of demonic spirits and voodoo and the whole deal. And Lord, right there where they're going to be, right close to where they're working, the largest gathering, voodoo gathering in the world happens. And so, Lord, I pray against every principality and power of hell. They have no authority. The enemy has no authority. Jesus, you have all authority. And so we pray in your name and in your blood that you would accomplish your purpose and your plan. I pray not only for the physical labor that has to be done, but for the lives that are touched while they're doing the work, the conversations that they have, for the people that they come alongside, the people who watch them and work with them. Lord, I pray that you would do miracles in the hearts of men and women. Continue what you have started there in Haiti. And Lord, we ask for a safe return for our team. Lord, we don't control the weather. We know you do, and we don't complain about hurricanes and all that kind of thing. It's your choices and so many things. But Lord, we're just asking, bring them back safely and on time. That would be our prayer. That's our desire. And Lord, we would ask that you would do that. And Lord, as the team heads to Ukraine, Lord, I pray that is a country in turmoil right now, has been. There is great need there. There is great uncertainty. And yet, Jesus, you're at work. And the reports that we have heard and the way that people are coming to you and turning to you. And so, God, we pray that you would go before, that your spirit would lead as they come alongside. I pray that you give them much grace to encourage the leadership in the churches where they will go. Lord, allow them to come alongside and strengthen their hands and encourage their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would put words in their mouth, give them wisdom, give them discernment as they speak. Lord, as they would share the gospel, I pray that hearts would be open to hear in both Haiti and in Ukraine. Lord, that the eyes would be open, that the blinders would come off. Lord Jesus, that you would lighten their way. And Lord, I look forward, we all look forward to what you have in store and what you're going to do, the reports that you give. And again, we just commit these to you. We realize, Lord, that any time someone goes, that things happen that are outside of our control. And so we commit them to you. We trust you, Lord, in all of this. And know that the greatest place to be is right in the center of your calling. And so, Lord, we thank you for each one. We pray for them, and we pray for their families back here as well. Richard mentioned that. We pray for those who are behind, that you would encourage them, give them peace and comfort. Lord, I pray against every lie and fear that the enemy would bring. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you all. Thank you very much. You can go back this way and that way. And I also, while we're talking about Haiti, in case you haven't noticed, there's a theme today. There's a lot of mission stuff happening here today, and it's good both away and overseas, and we'll talk about some of that, and then toward the end of our service, you're going to hear about what God's doing right here in our own backyard, and I'm going to introduce some folks to you, pastor that Lori and I met just a couple months ago, and before I do that, though, John, where is John? There you are, John. Why don't you come talk to him a little bit about Haiti and Haiti gift bags and all of that kind of stuff.
On behalf of the missions coordination team, good morning to you all. We have a couple more things. As you see, we've got teams going out. We've got missionaries going out. But one of our desires is to get all of you involved in missions, both through finances and through prayer. So again, this year, we're going to be doing the Haiti bags. Now, I know it's not even August yet, but we have to send them early to get them over there. So we will be getting the bags this week. And we'll have them at Guest Central. They're going to be due on the 15th, Sunday the 15th of October. There will be a list on what to put in the bags. There will also be a list of what not to put on the bags, like soap And as Pastor was talking about voodoo, you think like a ball that bounces, it lights up, is really cool for kids. To them, they don't understand it. They think it's magic. So we will go over that and explain what to put in and what not to. So that's coming up. And then we have another thing for you all. There we go. I have been contacting the different organizations for all of the missionaries and pastors that we support. And we have put a list together for you where you can write to the pastors in Zambia, Malawi, Ethan, Ukraine, and the orphans in Watoto. Also, if you are one of the host families for the choir that was here, there's information on how you can write to them, because I know that you've expressed a desire to do that. We don't at this time have everything set up for writing to Harvest Hope Home in Malawi or for Haiti through Good Shepherd Ministries, but we're working on that. So this is a beginning list, but it's very easy. I've done it. I've written to them all. You may not hear back from them right away, but if you send them just words of encouragement, scripture verses, prayer, it means the world to them. So these will be back at Guest Central for you, and if we run out, I can print more.
Thank you. Take advantage of being engaged, however the Lord stirs and moves in you. Be engaged in these things. Ask Him to make you more engaged. And I realize that for some, you say, I'll never be able to go to Africa or Haiti or Ukraine or any of that. I can't go, or there are physical limitations or different other limitations. I can't do that. You can still be engaged. You can still, God can work through you and use you. As a matter of fact, in powerful ways. And I've often shared with people, Lori's grandmother, I knew her the last 20 some odd years of her life. And in that time, she spent most of her time in a chair, in a recliner there in her big chair in the living room. She was not mobile at all. And yet, she did more for the kingdom in that chair. And the prayers that she prayed and the things that she read, the people she reached out to, the letters she wrote. I knew every year on November 14th, I knew she'd spent the day praying for me because she told me so. She'd spend that day crying out on my behalf. You can be engaged. You don't have to be on the field to be engaged in this. As a matter of fact, God can use you in great ways. And we will only know when we get to eternity how He has used people we never knew, we never heard of, we never saw, but He's used them in powerful ways to advance His kingdom. I believe with all of my heart that God can do anything, but I believe He waits to do things until His people ask. I really believe that. I believe He has set it up that way. In His sovereign design, He has set it up. He wants to partner with you and me, and so He waits for His people to ask. You say, Troy, what about His will? He accomplishes His will, but He does it through people. And I don't know how does all that work? I don't know. I want to ask Him when I get there, Lord, how did You do all of that? I don't know, but I do know, and I have lived long enough and watched enough to know that God loves to partner with His people in answer to prayer. All right? So be engaged. Be engaged in these different ways. I saw something else, and this is not on our, and we've got so much, I shouldn't add more to our schedule. But this week, I was reminded again that we have right here in our own backyard down at the port, if you want to be a foreign missionary, but you can't leave Florida, you can do it 45 minutes from here. That there is the Seafarers Ministry down there, and they minister to the crew, men and women, that come off those ships at the port. In a powerful way. And so you literally have people from all over the world being ministered to. They were sharing just this past month, I'm going to mess up the numbers or all, but it was around 300 different individuals who came through the ministry there, different crew men and women from, I don't know, 40, 50 different nations, people from all over. So if God is stirring your heart and say, hey, I want to be involved in missions, but I can't go halfway around the world, it may be that you can minister right here in your own backyard and be involved in foreign missions. And you certainly can pray. You certainly can give. These things we can do. So just have a heart open for how God wants to use you to advance His kingdom and to care about people. All right? It's great to have our Peru team back with us. You guys are holding Bibles, and you know what? I'm trying to decide.
Yeah, it's always good to have a Bible. If you need a Bible, if you forgot your Bible this morning, I'm not sure exactly what this is all going to look like this morning, but if you'd like to have a Bible and be able to follow along if we turn to certain scripture, just wave at our ushers, and they'll be happy to pass one to you. Today's service is a little different than normal. I'm not preaching in the formal sort of way, but we are glad you're here and part of what God is doing. The team just got back a little over a week ago, and been hearing just things that God did and how He worked. So I'm going to let them talk instead of me talk. I'm going to turn it over to the leadership and let them begin.
We had an awesome time down in Peru. We went there. It was kind of a two-part thing. We went to Pucallpa, which was outside the jungle. And they don't teach or preach or anything in English. So it had to be all in Spanish. A few of us know some Spanish, but not too much. But it was really neat. We learned some songs in Spanish. So we're going to ask that you would worship with us. We're going to worship in English first, and then we're going to do it in Spanish. If you are a native Spanish-speaking person, bear with us, okay? Hold your comments to yourself and just enjoy it, okay? Even if it doesn't sound right, okay? Because that's what they did for us, okay? But you know what? It was just neat to enter into worship, even though we didn't know the language. But we knew these songs. We knew what the words meant, so we were able to enter in. So that's what we did on the first part, was we went down and we helped build a church. And then we went to a few churches, and when I was able to teach once, and Nathan was able to teach once. And we were able to worship with them and just fellowship with them. It was awesome. And then we went to Lima, Peru, and in Lima, it's an English-speaking church. So what a blessing that we could just enter into conversation with everybody at the church. And then we got to invite people from schools who were learning English to come to a coffee house night, and we were able to speak with them. We had a movie night. And then we invited them to an English camp, okay? So what it was about was building relationships and telling them about Jesus. And it was an awesome time, and we had a little money left over, so we were able to say, okay, this will help build that church, continue building that church, and this will help send some kids to camp. And I got a message from Rick, and he said, what a blessing, he said. Those two kids that you met who said, we'd really like to go to the camp, but we don't think we have the money. So they put up 50 of their money, and it was 150, so it's actually just 50 American dollars, really. But so we paid for two-thirds of it, and they came to try to pay the rest of it, and Rick said, hey, the team already took care of it. And they were blown away. Just that we would do that for them. And I heard some good reports back that they went to the camp, and you saw pictures of them, and they heard the gospel from A to Z while they were at the camp. So it was about building relationships, and we just want to share with you what God did in and through us as we were there.
So starting off this trip, before we went, I wasn't sure of anything, really. I wasn't sure if God was really going to show himself or if he was going to protect us. But right when we got there, we were greeted by so many strong believers, and I just knew God was working in their lives and doing amazing things. So later in the trip, we were doing a worship night, and I just closed my eyes and was really focusing on the words. And God spoke to me, and he said, this is how I want you to worship. I want you to do it like this and focus on me. And so that really just hit me hard, and I knew the Lord was with me for the rest of the trip. So later, that really just held me out, and I just knew the Lord was with us. He was protecting us. He was with us, and he was showing his love even through some sickness we had. He showed his healing power.
So before we were As we, in the beginning of the trip, I felt like before I wasn't really putting all my heart into what Jesus wanted me to do with my life and how he wanted me to be in a relationship with him. And I realized while we were on the trip, as I was on the trip, I've put my heart back into what I need to be focusing on, and it's all Jesus.
Before we went on the trip, I wasn't sure if I really wanted to go because I like my house. And during the trip, I was counting down the days until I got back, and like 3 days in, God spoke to me, and he said, "Why aren't you fully in me?" And from then on, I stopped counting down the days, and I was just fully invested in God, and he showed me stuff that I would have never seen before.
My favorite part of the trip that blessed me, we went to an old folks' home, and they're probably like, "Why are those gringos like coming here, spending time with us from America?" And just seeing like their joy, how happy they were, and how accepting they were of the gospel was really sweet to watch.
One thing that really blessed me on the trip is just to see the people and how committed they were. Like, once they accepted Christ, like, there was no turning back for them. Like, that made it for them. Like, it's all they needed. And just to see how passionate and, like, the fire within them, it really challenged me. And it just really blessed me to see how important it was to them to know that they were loved by Jesus. So.
So this trip was really a great experience, and it was really great getting to help out with all their projects and helping people learn English and practice English. And really this trip just it brought me a lot closer to God than I was before the trip.
One thing that when I was about to leave on this trip, I was thinking, I'm the intern, I'm going with the youth group. I'm gonna be like teaching them and I'm gonna show them what to do. And actually, I learned a lot from them. They were complaining less than I was. because, boy, that was a lot of walking. But one night in particular was the worship night that you'll hear us talk about a lot. I looked up, and at one point, I saw Andrew off in the corner just worshiping and dancing like he does here if you see him in the front row. And that just stood out to me because he separated himself to worship God as fully as he knows possible, and it really broke down some boundaries that I had in my heart at that moment.
One of the things that blessed me amazingly, this is actually my first overseas mission trip, so it was the first time I've ever been overseas. My first overseas mission trip, and it was the first time that I actually got to teach to a crowd, which was funny because Paul stuck me with a translator. And that is hard, teaching for such a lengthy time and having the conscious mind of stopping so he could talk. But one of the things that we did there was visit an old folks' home. And normally throughout the trip, I was just helping out anybody who needed help, making sure that everybody was where they were supposed to be. And it happened out to where everybody was where they were supposed to be, but I was just standing there. And the local pastor there said, "Nathan, come here." And he introduced me to a man that had been there for the past 6 months. And because he was there, he was not able to visit his home church. So the fact that we were able to come in and speak and worship with him, he was amazingly blessed by that. And one of the things that I've never really experienced, because, again, I'm American, something that they do down there is when you pray for them, they pray for you at the same time. It threw me off at first, but I was speaking in English, and he doesn't understand English, so the pastor that was there was talking for me and translated it into Spanish, and I had no idea what this guy was saying because my translator was translating my words and not his. But I could tell just the spirit that was there and that filled me when he was praying, the fact that he was there and he blessed me, even though that was the purpose that we were going, was even while we were there serving, they were there blessing us and serving us. It was amazing to watch.
Well, I actually have so many things to share that I've got to just pick one so that we don't go over time here. But Grayson said the kids complain less than he did. I have to say I didn't even hear the kids complaining. If you've ever worked with teenagers, they're wonderful, but complain. They didn't. The first place we went to is Pucallpa, and you think Florida is hot? It is not hot here. It feels great. It is hot in Pucallpa. The humidity is twice what it is here, and there's no air conditioning anywhere. You can't get away from the heat because the stores aren't air conditioned. The hotel wasn't air conditioned. There was no air conditioning. There was no cooling off. So the very, very first day we were doing construction, helping build some pillars in a church, and our kids didn't complain once about the heat. They didn't complain that we didn't have tools. There was one little hand shovel, one big shovel, and one other tool. I forget what it was. There was a machete that we were using as a shovel, kind of. We were using rocks to dig with. I mean, it was very basic, very, we take for granted. The stuff that's in my shed that I want to take to Goodwill, is they'd be thrilled with. But anyway, the kids didn't complain. They worked so hard that day in the heat and just had such a great spirit. I mean, we prayed since the first day of training that Holy Spirit would be in and amongst us and around us and through us, and that it would be all about him. And it really was, that no one complained. Our hotel didn't even have hot water. No hot water, no air conditioning. There was no complaints. The kids were just, I was so proud of them, so blessed to be a part of this group and see God work. And you always hear people say when you go on a missions trip that we're going over there to share the gospel, and we're going to glorify God. And that happened, but we were also blessed as well. And you hear people say that, but that's exactly what happened. So thank you so much for your prayer support while we were there.
I just have one question for you guys. Do you have your exit buddy? Because that was our big question when we were in the first 4 days. We were crammed in these motor cars that actually were very fun to ride in, but every trip was an adventure, and Grayson would holler out because we got put with the same people, "Do you have your exit buddy?" And we would all pair up and off we would go, and hopefully we were hoping to get to the same place, and we did. I was very proud of the students, and one thing I didn't anticipate was the relationships that we made with, first of all, each other, but then with the team that's there full time, with the translators and Pastor Rick and his staff. They just became a part of us. We were a group of 11, and then we were a group of 16, and it's like that's our group. And just learning from each other. I mean, God had a unique relationship there for me and Joy, really. A girl who's just a little bit older than myself, just in love with the Lord, and Jesus is everything to her. And it's easy, we're like, oh yeah, Jesus is everything to me. No, he's really not. when you see a heart that really is, it's true in their heart, you see your own mess, and you are challenged by it and stirred by it, and there's that relationship for the taking for all of us. I am, just one other word about the kids. I thought, you know, I'm not sure who the leader is in this group. You know, some of them are kind of quiet, but they all just took, they just grabbed it. They took the opportunity. Each one, I would be kind of, they would get up to share their testimony or something, and I was feeling a little nervous for them, and, but they just let the Lord shine through them. So I'm very, very proud of them.
This was a very interesting trip for me because the first mission trip I ever went on was in Peru. It's the first time I ever led someone to the Lord was in Peru. And so to be back there, and that guy's a pastor right now, praise the Lord. And but I was sitting in audience just like you when a trip came back from Peru, and there were young people standing up and saying, God used me. He took me out of my shell, and that happened with all these kids, even with Joy. You know, Joy said, no, I won't do that, and I won't do that, and she did it. You know what I mean?
That is the Holy Spirit.
And while I was standing in the church listening to these young people, I said, I want to be used like that. God, use me like that. And God had me go up to the youth pastor at the end of that night and say, I'm a new Christian. I don't know anything. I can't do any. I can hand out Bibles. I said, can I come to the youth group? I want to be around this energy, around God. I see God moving, and I want to be a part of it. And so I started helping with the youth group, and the next year, when I went on my first mission trip, the year after, I went again. And then I ended up being a missionary in Ukraine for 8 years because God grabbed my heart. God can use any of us if we yield ourselves to him. And that's what I saw happen on this trip, was God yielded himself. And it's interesting. I don't know how many of you have these I Am Second bracelets on. One of the pastors in Pacalpa gave us these bracelets that says, I am second. And you're like, what's that about? I didn't even read the book or anything, but if you think about it, God needs to be number one. You know, he's our Lord, right? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what does that mean? It's like, I'm not in the driver's seat anymore. God, what do you want me to do? I will follow, right? Number two, our spouses, right? We're to consider them better than ourselves. Our neighbors were considered better than ourselves. So we always take the second seat. We always say, you know what? It's about others. And I saw that happen in each and every one of these kids. They said, it's not about me. It's about serving. And you know what? If we do that every day, we don't have to go to Peru. We can do that here. We can jump on the buses on Tuesday morning. A bunch of us jump on the bus and we ride around the city for an hour, talking to people about Jesus. You know, there's Seafarers Ministry up in Cocoa. There's our workplaces. Just be available, and God will use you. I have one more minute. Probably the most spectacular part of the trip for me was a worship night. It was on a Wednesday night. And I told Rick, I said, Rick, last time we were together, you were here visiting, and we got together at someone's house, and we just worshiped the Lord, and we prayed, and we just, and I said, that's what I want to happen down there. I said, I don't want to just go and be doing, I want to fellowship with you guys. I want to worship together. I want to, and you know what? It was incredible. You know, and during it, God said, Paul, I want you to get up and lay hands on every member of this team and pray for them. And God just spoke. And he spoke through us. Me and Joy were praying for my daughter. And it was seemed like it was coming to an end. And then God said, hey, pray for her husband. And Joy just said, one more thing. God, I lift up Kaylee's husband. And it was beautiful. God was moving, and God met us there. And each and every person we prayed for just broke down and wept because God was touching them. And this is a different group than you sent off because God moved. And so we thank you for the support, the prayers. We're about missions in this church, not just foreign missions. We want the whole world to know about Jesus. Amen. And so join with us, please. Thank you.
Well done, guys and girls. I do have one question. Several of you mentioned going to an old folks home. Is that old like Paul or older? I'm wondering, how do you define old? When they say old, I'm old. I mean, I don't know how old an old folks home is, but we really don't have to go around the world. The Lord gives opportunity right here in our own backyard. I want you to meet someone in the few minutes we have left here. I'm hoping they're here. They had to help at the VFW this morning. Kenneth and, you're back here. Why don't you guys come on up here? Kenneth and Zoma Torres. They pastor the only church in the country that meets in a VFW hall. And they do it right here on Derry Road. A really neat deal, just how God has worked in them and through them. And they were invited in to do this, and they actually have a church that meets there. And I met Kenneth, actually Lori and I met Kenneth and Zoma, and Zeus. We met Zeus too the same night. That night we were at a dinner, a pastor's dinner, and it was a divine appointment. I really do believe that. And we've gotten to know each other better in the days and the weeks ahead, or since then. And so I asked them if they would just share a little bit about, I want you to get to know them. You've probably seen them here at church. Their service is on Monday night right now, soon to be Sunday and Monday, because the VFW is building an annex, and they will have another place so they can meet on Sunday and Monday. And this morning you were over there serving breakfast, right? And ministering. And I asked Kenneth, I said, Kenneth, why do you need a church in a VFW hall? I mean, there's a church literally right next door to the VFW hall. Why do you need a church in the VFW hall? And I asked him to share a little bit about that heart with you.
Praise the Lord, church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Y'all can do better than that. Praise the Lord, church. Nah, if y'all were the ones circling Jericho, those walls would still be up. Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
There we go. Those walls are coming down. Casey, please, can you come get Zeus? Please. I'm sorry. Go with Casey, baby. No, don't make friends. Go with Casey. Go with Casey. Go with Casey. I'm sorry. Because I don't want him get him up there. Because I'm a little bit short. It is great to be among you this morning. I have one quick question before I proceed. Do I have any vets here? Raise your hand. Thank you for your service. Yeah. Do I have combat vets here? Raise your hand. Okay. How prone are you to the flashbacks come? Do you have real sensitive triggers? Anybody? Okay. Okay. Do I have a sound bite ready back there? Not yet. What I want you to do right now is I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. You can imagine that you're in the jungles of Vietnam, or you're in the sands of Iraq, Afghanistan, or Syria. Go. Keep your eyes closed. Fire! imagine this going through your head 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 52 weeks out of the year. And imagine that you have to wrestle with the question, why did I come back and my buddy didn't? And you're constantly going through this. And every time you close your eyes, you're going through it. You relive it. You live it like you're there again every night, every day. You can't hear loud noises because you go into a fetal position or you go into a defensive position. Or you just can't stop crying because that buddy that was right next to you didn't come back. That's what that you can open your eyes now. That is what a lot of our vets, especially our returning vets, face day to day. As you can see, Veterans Church, our motto is, I am my brother's keeper. And why is it that I am my brother's keeper? Because 22, 20, even one suicide a day of our vets is unacceptable. We have to stop that tide. A lot of our vets have been disillusioned with our government. That's why they're homeless. And they want to be that way. A lot of our vets are disillusioned with the church. And that's why they're at the VFW, at the bar, day in and day out. Veterans Church, why Veterans Church? Simple. Because my fellow brothers here, my combat vets and my vets know that a vet will listen to another vet, but won't listen to somebody that's not like them. Even if they know that that person is telling the truth, they won't listen. So it had to be somebody that's like them, that's just as messed up as they are. Because I served 25 years, and I have severe PTSD. That's why I have Zeus. I don't take pills by the grace of God, but at one point, I was taking 45 different medications at daily. And I was active duty. It wasn't even after I was out. And I quit cold turkey because I found out that I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs while on those medications. The lights were on, but nobody was home. And that's a real bad realization to come to. I'm a preacher's kid. I've known God and what God can do throughout my whole life, ever since I was a kid. But PTSD doesn't choose. In case you were wondering, my PTSD started at the age of 12, where for 1 year, me and my brother were sodomized by my cousins day in and day out. That's where the story of Kenneth Torres starts. And because I wanted to prove myself, then I went into this. And I went into the hardest job that the Army and the Air Force could give, because I wanted to prove that I was good enough. And every day, those of us that came back and have these memories, we're constantly fighting not only with the past, but we're constantly fighting with ourselves. And the great thing about Veterans Church, or our motto, is the fact that we're here to tell the world, to tell our fellow brethren, it doesn't matter what happened to you in the past. It doesn't matter what you did. It was doesn't matter what you had to go through. I'm here to tell you that God can put you back together. And he may not do it like he did it like in the book of Jeremiah. Where's the clock?
Oh, there it is. No, there it is. It doesn't happen like in the book of Jeremiah, where, you know, we go into the potter's house, the potter's doing something, and then he doesn't like it. He breaks it down and does it again. Well, in our case, God takes the Holy Spirit crazy glue and puts us back together. You can see the cracks. You can see where we were once were broken. But because of his grace and his mercy, we're made whole again today. And even though we're kind of like hobbling along, but we're still moving. And we can still be vessels of honor and glory. And God can use, like in my case, what transpired in the life of my fellow sisters, my fellow brothers, what they have lived through, and make them a vessel of honor. And that's what we want to do. And what I encourage you, I am my brother's keeper. It shouldn't only be the Veterans Church. That should be to everybody. Be nosy. I'm serious. Be nosy. If you see somebody that's not acting like their normal self, please ask him what's going on. Find out. If they want you to pray with them, pray with them. If they want you to sit with them, sit with them. If they want you to cry with them, cry with them. But be mindful of that person next to you. Our cornerstone verse is Luke 19:10. It says that Jesus came to save that which was lost. Our motto is, I was placed here on this earth to go and save that one person that nobody could reach and bring them home. Our vets were forgotten. Yeah, a lot of us are tatted up. We have ponytails. We drive bikes. We look mean. We carry big 12-inch Bowie knives. I got a couple friends like that. But the thing is, God is for everybody. It's like, you know, like I think it was Troy that was saying, the song about the nations of the world singing. God is for everybody. And let me tell you something about our vets. They may not be practicing Christians like we see, like us, that we're here every Sunday. But they do believe in God. They do believe that there's somebody out there that brought them back home. But we as the church have to be the embodiment of the love of that person that brought them back home. Many times they'll ask us, but Pastor, why do we love you so much? Why don't you find it a problem to hang out with us? I said, because I'm like you. I'm just like you. The only difference between you and I is that I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But that's the only difference. I'm still a sinner, saved by grace. That's it. Nothing else. I'm not different. But where you are, where you are, I was. Where I am, you can be. Veterans Church has been in existence for a year and a half, and the Lord has blessed us. Like Troy said, we are the only church nationwide in a VFW. But God is so great, God is so good, that the national commander of the VFWs wants us to speak at a convention because he's of the mindset that this is cool, but we should have a church in every VFW. So, and just in case you're like, oh, well, yeah, that's a fad. That'll go away. Well, the thing is that they want us there. They don't want us to go anywhere. And the level of the move of God, like Pastor Paul was speaking about, and how you know that it's God really in the process and what is going on. Last year, for Christmas Eve, we had a candlelight service. We had our candlelight service. And it was the funniest thing. Well, not funny, but at that moment it was. Because they closed the bar down. And everybody that was in the bar went over to the candlelight service. The bar was closed. And the thing was that they didn't open it back up. I thought they were going to open it after the service. No. They kept it closed until the end of the night. And we prayed for people at the picnic tables. We've counseled people in the kitchen. We pray for people over in the bar as we're leaving. And my wife says, you know, do you know this guy when we meet and we embrace, especially the guys that are coming back from the sandbox, and we embrace, he goes, do you know him? I said, no. But that look is the same. And when they see patches and whatnot, my brothers, we all go crazy over patches, you know, especially if you jumped out of perfectly good airplanes and you're almost airborne, or you're a screaming chicken, 101st, screaming eagles, and, you know, 82nd. And we pick on each other, but we have a love for each other. It's like, nobody can mess with my little brother. I can, but you can't. And the thing is that the love and the grace that God showed me and poured upon me when I had a 45 stuck in my mouth, when I took a knife to my wrist because the burden was just unbearable, and all this while being a Christian. But the grace that God showed me and the mercy that he poured upon my life at that specific moment is the same one that I want them to know. We don't have much. But like I was telling somebody this morning, if you pray for us, we can keep going. Keep us in your prayers. We get calls at all kinds of hours, and we have to talk people down. I suffer flashbacks. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up screaming. It was part of my chosen profession and the after effects. I'm not going to blame God or the devil for that. But in the midst of it all, I still declare that he is king. He is seated on the throne. And no matter what happens in my life, he is in control. No matter what. No matter how bad it gets, the sun will shine in the morning. No matter how stormy the sea, he will calm the storm. And no matter how long the battle, victory, victory shall be mine. God bless you.
Hey, don't go away yet. Stay close. Won't you stand with me? Let's stand together. Lord, right now, we pray for Kenneth and Zulma. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that's represented in their lives and what you have done and what you are doing and what you still have planned to do. And yet, Lord, we know that there are many, hundreds, thousands of others that you also have a love and a care and a plan for. And so, Lord, right now, we pray. I pray for Kenneth and Zulma because I know they're walking by faith. They're trusting you. They're stepping out. They're looking to you for everything that's needed to be able to do this work. And so, Lord, I pray that you would abundantly supply in ways that they can't even imagine right now. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts, that we would be engaged with them, that we'd pray with them, we'd come alongside. When Kenneth calls it, we'll come gather and help and minister in specific ways to our veterans. Lord, we want to be a part of the work that this brother and sister are doing, that we're all together, in the same family. And Lord, they can reach in ways that we can't. So I pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them, pour out your spirit. Just, Lord, just multiply beyond our imagination or our ability to ask what you want to do.
And Lord, I pray too that you'd help those of us who have not served, those who have not been in combat, Lord, give us understanding beyond what we have right now. I pray that you do that in each of our lives. Lord, I pray we'd do that for everyone, that we'd want to understand what they've been through and where they've come from, even if we don't, even if we've not been there ourselves. So Lord, help us. I pray your blessing on these two. I just thank you, Jesus, for them. And I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. It's been a good day. God's at work. Someone came to me during the break a minute ago and said, I want to go to Haiti. I have construction skills and different things. I can't go right now, but I have it in my heart to go. I said, let's pray. Let's pray. Maybe God, like Paul said, maybe God's put something in your heart today to be engaged, to be involved. Maybe you're a veteran, and God would give you both ability and desire to be able to come alongside Kenneth and Zoma, say, how can we help? I don't know. I don't know what God's doing today, but I know he's at work. Maybe you're just going to go to your job tomorrow, wherever it is, and you think, I'm just going to do what I always do every day. No. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are the one who speaks for him. You are the one who lives for him. You are the one through whom he wants to work, and he will. You say, Troy, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Join the club. But you have just entered my world every day. I don't know what to say, and I don't know what to do. Every single day, and I cry out to the one who does. And he will. He will speak through you. He will guide you. Our heart, our desire is to see the nations worship, starting right here with our own. We are not a Christian nation anymore, folks. We are not. We were founded on Christian principles, but we are not a Christian nation. We have not been for some time. I know that's hard to hear, isn't it? We like to think of ourselves as a Christian. We have not. We, by and large, as a nation, are not those who seek Christ above all else. We do not. I'm not talking about necessarily the people in this room. I'm just saying as a nation. I want to see my nation worship. I want to see folks here in the United States. I want to see revival. God's people revived. I want to see the lost. I never experienced it before, but now in this day and age, I can talk to people right here who've never heard about Jesus. 20 years ago, that didn't happen. Never heard about him. I don't know who he is. Lord, help us. Help us. Give us a heart. Give us desire.